The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. At 5 o'clock this evening, part of President Trump's travel ban will go into effect. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court has allowed some of his restrictions on travel from six Muslim-majority countries. The Supreme Court's not going to hear a case on this ban until fall, which means the restrictions that start tonight will likely be in place for months. Well, my next guest was at SeaTac Airport in January when Trump's first travel ban started. He runs the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project. Jorge Barone, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Will you remind us of the chaos at SeaTac Airport in January? What happened?
Well, what happened was that the president issued his original executive order implementing this Muslim ban that he had promised during the campaign. And, you know, this happened on late on a Friday. Overnight, there were flights that coming in from all over the world to airports all over the U.S. And all of a sudden, people were not subject to this travel ban. And the immigration officials at the airports didn't really have guidance over who it covered. Did it apply to green card holders, lawful permanent residents coming back? And so it was total chaos at the airport. We had people at the airport already because we were anticipating that there might be some problems. I don't think we anticipated the level of problems that we would have, but I ended up going to the airport and we helped a couple of people who were detained there, but there were people who were deported.
Oh, it was more colorful than you're letting on. The people were getting turned away. Didn't you literally run to stop a plane?
Well, I think there was...
I don't mean with your bare hands.
It was a team effort, yes, and I did not actually block the plane myself, but we worked with a legal team of a lot of colleagues. Not only from our organization, but also from the ACLU of Washington and volunteer attorneys who helped file a habeas petition on behalf of two people who were about to be deported on a flight back to Dubai.
They were on the plane.
They were literally on the plane, and we got there with the court order on my phone because we didn't have a way to print it. So I was trying to show it to the immigration officials at the gate. And they held up the plane while we figured out exactly what was happening, and they got the instructions from higher ups, and eventually the people were pulled off. Our clients were pulled off the plane and allowed to continue their travels.
Will you remind us why these travelers were allowed to make it to SeaTac Airport? Why weren't they stopped in Tripoli or Tehran?
Yeah, well, that was a good question. The reason was that they gotten on the plane even before the executive order was implemented. I mean, they were literally flying when the president issued his executive order, and there was no timing, there was no delay. And so these folks, the executive order went into effect literally while they were already en route to the U.S., and it wasn't until they landed at SeaTac that all of a sudden they found out, and you know, through the airport officials, that this was happening.
Okay, now since those chaotic days, the president's travel ban has shrunk, and the Supreme Court shrank it again this week in its ruling. How does the new travel ban work, basically?
Well, it's important to note that the president continues to try to, you know, push his original executive order, but the Supreme Court did block most of it, I would say. It said that people with ties to the U.S. Could continue to travel to the U.S. and not be subject to the travel ban. Unfortunately, the court did allow part of it to go forward, and so now we're talking about people who don't have what the court referred to as bona fide relations to U.S. To family members or to entities here in the U.S.
That's a key phrase, a bona fide relationship.
Correct. And so we were waiting for guidance to understand exactly how the administration is going to interpret that phrase and exactly what family relationships. We did get the guidance overnight. We think they're reading it already too strictly. They're limiting it basically to immediate family members. Things like grandparents are not going to be allowed. And so, you know, if somebody's coming to visit their grandmother, for example, who they have a very long extended relationship the grandmother's ill, that won't count as a close family relationship. If you're in a same-sex relationship, for example, that doesn't, in countries that don't allow same-sex marriage, that doesn't count. If you're a fiancé of a U.S. citizen, you can't visit that person under the way that the administration is interpreting. Now, we don't think that that actually complies with what the Supreme Court said, and so we're going to start seeing some, I think we're going to see some legal fights over that in the coming weeks and months.
Okay, no grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, and as you said, fiancés. If you have a visa, you can come. If you have a visa in hand, if you have a job in hand, you can come, right?
Right. If you have a visa already, technically the executive order doesn't apply to you because this is supposed to be prospective now for people who are getting visas.
Right.
We're still concerned that, you know, what happens at the airport. So there's still, you know, some concern about how this is going to get applied at the ground level.
What happens to refugees under this new ban?
Well, refugees are going to be under basically the same rule that the court outlined. So refugees are also going to have to demonstrate that they have some sort of tie to the United States, either a family member or an entity. So there will be some that will be able to show that they have a close family relationship. We're still concerned because now, again, the same rule is going to apply. So if my relationship is to a cousin or to my grandmother or a grandchild here, that apparently the way the administration is reading this won't count. But the other question is whether there's already, you know, a relationship oftentimes that refugees have built with the Refugee Resettlement Agency. And we think that that should count for purposes of the Supreme Court decision. But that is not yet clear whether the administration is going to allow that. You know, we still think that there's going to be refugees who are going to be left out of this protection. And these are folks that have already gone through an extensive process of vetting, security checks, and all of this, and who've already been identified as somebody who's, you know, in danger in their home countries. And so we're concerned about the fact that folks are going to be left out of getting protection here in the U.S. because of the way that the Supreme Court has allowed this to move forward.
We're talking with Jorge Barone from the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project, talking about the new reduced presidential travel ban that goes into effect at SeaTac Airport, 5 o'clock our time this evening. Jorge was at SeaTac Airport the last go-around in January. So back to my original question, Jorge, what do you expect SeaTac Airport to be like tonight?
Well, I do think that it's going to be we're not going to see a repeat of January. I don't anticipate that simply because we've had a lot more time to plan. I think there was a waiting period between the Supreme Court decision, and I think most of the impact is going to be felt as outside of the U.S. By people being denied visas or being even denied the opportunity to board an airplane. And so we don't expect the kind of chaos that we saw with the original travel ban in January. I still think I want to emphasize that there's still going to be impacts both locally. I mean, there's going to be family members here. You know, again, I have a, you know, we have a significant Somali, Iraqi community here, folks from other parts of the world. And, you know, if I'm a Somali U.S. citizen and, you know, my grandmother wants to come to visit me, you know, that now that person can't get a visa, and so I'm deprived of that opportunity. And I think there's going to be other impacts that are difficult to quantify of people, you know, even from other countries thinking, well, you know, if they're doing that to these six countries, why, you know, they might do it to another one. I'm just going to not come visit the U.S. because, you know, this is too uncertain right now.
What will happen to the people who are blocked from coming in? Do they all get detained for some extra vetting in their home countries?
Well, what happens is that they're probably going to be just denied a visa. In the folks who are subject to the travel ban, what the Supreme Court allowed, they're going to be just denied the opportunity to even pursue a visa. There is this waiver process, but it's very unclear exactly how you're going to be able to apply for that waiver process. So we are concerned that this is effectively going to block a lot of people from being able to come to the U.S.
What about vetting, though? That was the idea. President Trump said, we're going to put a pause on the people coming in so we can make sure they're not a security risk.
Sure. And I think it's important to understand that for these countries that we're talking about, you know, everybody was vetted. I mean, that's the baseline, right? I mean, you don't, from these countries, you cannot get onto an airplane just nilly-willy and come travel to the U.S. You need a visa. And in order to get a visa, you need to go through security screenings and background checks that were already in place. And so we already have this vetting process on hand. But what the president was saying is, like, we're going to just deny everybody. And so this is not about whether there should be vetting or not. Everybody sort of agrees that there should be vetting, and there has been vetting throughout. And the administration said, well, we wanted to wait some time to, you know, institute new procedures. Well, they've had the time. They could have been doing this over the last few months. So we really don't understand, you know, even at this point, why it's necessary. But, you know, at the end of the day, as the Court of Appeals in Maryland, Virginia found out, you know, this is about what the president said, right? The president promised a Muslim ban, and I think that's what really is motivating this policy, and that's why we think the Supreme Court should not have allowed any of this to go forward.
And finally, the Supreme Court's not going to take up the travel ban case until after their summer break, so nothing to do but wait?
Well, I think there's, you know, again, there's going to be impact. There's people who are navigating the process. We have, you know, we're working with family members. For example, we have a client, a Somali woman who's trying to bring her child, 7-year-old child who's, you know, in Somalia. trying to come to the U.S. And, you know, she's anxious because, you know, now the Supreme Court might potentially restore the travel ban. And she's anxious about whether the processing will be completed before that decision comes down. Because
right now her child can come in under this Supreme Court stay or whatever, this sort of shrunk travel ban, but we don't know what's going to happen later.
Right. Well, she can. So the travel ban is not blocking it, but it's just a regular vetting process. So like we said, you know, there is this process that already happens, and it often takes months, sometimes years, for that to happen. And so these people were already in the process even before the travel ban came into place. And now they were getting to the point when they were finally going to be able to reunify. And, you know, now that potentially is in limbo. So right now they're okay. But if the visa doesn't get approved until past October and the Supreme Court has reinstated the travel ban by then, you know, then we're in trouble.
Okay. We'll see what happens next. Jorge Barón, Executive Director of the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project. And we're going to bring you more coverage of President's partial travel ban. We've got KUOW reporter Liz Jones will be on the ground at SeaTac today reporting on the first international flights after the ban takes effect at 5 o'clock. Jorge, good to see you again. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Bill.